Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship, whether you're here in person and have braved Storm Ashley. Sometimes we're just commenting in the porch on the way in. Sometimes now with the weather reports, it's never as bad as what they let out it's going to be. Sometimes, sure it's not. But yet it's supposed to come at 3 o'clock this afternoon, so we'll batten down the hatches at that stage. But welcome whether you're here in person or indeed online. We bid you a warm welcome. As we come to draw around the Lord's table today, to remember his life, his death, his resurrection, to remember the power that brings into each of our lives and the lives of those that we can then in turn touch this week. So let's pray as we begin. God showed his love amongst us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so we might die to sin and live for righteousness, declaring that by his wounds you have been healed. So Father, in this space, in this time, as we set time aside to focus on you, to still our hearts, to calm our minds, to set aside that moment where we can truly focus on you, hear from you, and from your Spirit, we thank you that we can gather together to remember what you have done for us. We thank you that we can hear your word read and proclaimed, that we can intercede for those around us and for ourselves, and that we can sing and worship you. We can do all of this without fear of persecution. So we pray for our brothers and sisters across the globe today, who in fear for their lives will declare that Jesus is Lord. So may we do that in a mighty and in a powerful way in this place. And may they know that those brothers and sisters worshiping across the globe will bring them strength and patience in their space and in their time. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Invite Lynn forward to read God's word today.
This morning's readings is Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, and it's entitled A Prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lynn. So we come to the end of our Jabez series, and this is the last week of it. We've been looking at this over the last, this is week seven actually, over the last 6 weeks. We've been looking at these two little verses and then bringing in other pieces of scripture that relates to them. In this series, we've seen that all of these characters through the pages of the scriptures came to a point where they needed God to step in. And the same God who stepped in for them is the same God who steps in for us today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've heard and saw that this prayer of Jabez, O Lord, that you bless me and enlarge my territory, that you let your hand be with me and keep me from harm and free from pain, and the Lord granted his request, was more than just daily bread or a sip of water. It's life-changing in the normal everydayness of life. We saw that God's bounty is only limited by us in our comprehension, in our understanding, and how we put God in a box sometimes, and we think we can demand certain things of him and that he will react or act in a certain way. We saw we cannot come to the end of God's grace, his love, his forgiveness, his blessing, that his resources are eternal, and that we cannot limit them in our earthly perspective, even though sometimes we do, if we're honest. We saw the paradox of the Christian faith that The Bible teaches us that the more we give away, the more we shall receive. The lower we become, the more we will be raised up. The weaker we are, the more strength we receive. We saw that that little part of the prayer, enlarge my territory, was actually Jabez praying for more opportunities to share and show who his God was. We saw that God's presence is a reassuring thing. We saw that Moses had a tenacity and a determination whenever he prayed, show me your ways, send me your presence, and show me your glory. We saw that Jabez understood that unless he was solely, wholeheartedly, upwardly looking, focused on God, he might just slip and fall into harm, into temptation, into the place that would lead him away from that intimate, abiding relationship with his God. And last week we saw, and God granted his request. And we posed the question whether it would be every time that we prayed that God would grant our request, or is that the best way? Because it isn't, if we think that it isn't, sure it's not. It's the sense that we have to hand it over to God, that he knows his purposes are better than my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. He knows the purposes that he has. The days are ordained before them. So it's not in the manner that we desire. It's not in the time frame that we demand. But God answers prayer in the way that he knows best for us, in his sovereignty. So what now? What now? Let's pray. That's a good start. Father God, thank you. Thank you for all that we have heard, read, learnt over the last 6 weeks about not only the character of Jabez, but the character of who you have called each of us to be as we walk and follow you. So in and with boldness, we want to pray that your Spirit would be upon us and amongst us in this moment so we might know and understand what you would have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So what now? If we did that really quick recap just a few seconds ago, if we believe all of that, if we knew all of that, if we stand on all those promises, what now? What happens now? Do we just close it all up and say, well, we've done that lovely wee series on Jabez and that's the end of it. Let's just go back to our normal everyday lives and forget about it all. Or as you've prayed that prayer over the last 6 weeks, maybe on a daily basis, maybe more than once a day, how have you changed, shifted, been molded, been recrafted in his image, in his ways, in a new understanding of who God is? You've been challenged, comforted, encouraged. Because actually, Scripture has a habit of doing those three things almost all together. Scripture has a habit of challenging us, comforting us, and encouraging us all at the same time. It's not that it will just simply challenge us. Often when we get challenged by Scripture, there's a comfort and an encouragement comes with it. Often as we get encouraged by Scripture, there's a challenge will come after it. And if we've been praying that bold prayer, bless me, O Lord, enlarge my territory, let your hand be with me, keep me from harm. If we've been praying that bold prayer, if we've been doing those things all at once and seeking that God would be amongst us, then what now? Because in 1 Chronicles 4, the prayer of Jabez ends quite abruptly. Do you remember I read it at the very beginning? We'll read some of that again. Jabez, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 5. Asher, the father of Tekorah, had two wives, Hilah and Nara. Nara bore him Asiam, Hepha, Tamelia, Astoria, and these are the descendants of Nara. The sons of Hilah, Sephra, Sora, Ethan, Koz, and those are the fathers of Nahum, Hazabeth, and the clans of Araliah, son of Haram. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Lord, you bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. Caleb, Shunah's brother, was the father of Mirah, who was the father of Eston, together with the promises of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of the gospel. Oh, how? That's not right. Caleb's son and brother are the father of Mirah, who was the father of Eston. Eston was the father of Beth, Rapha, Pastora, Panah, father of Ermanan, and these are the men of Rechah. That's listed with all of those unpronounceable names that I've made an absolute shambles at trying to pronounce. His prayer ends abruptly, and the genealogy starts again. Do you want to just go back into the everydayness that has been happening over the last number of weeks, months, years? Or something new, something different with God, a new level, a new walk, a new gate, a new phase, a new season with him? Because our Ephesians passage that Lynn read for us today tells us of something different. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. For this reason I kneel before the Father." There's something about the posture there, isn't there? We know that posture can be an important thing, not just in terms of tradition, but posture can be an important thing because if we're always standing and we sit down, we're resting our legs. If we're always sitting, we need to lie down. We know that posture is necessary. The change of posture is necessary for our human bodies. But the change of posture is necessary as we come before the Lord. Often whenever we imagine that we fall on our knees before God, it's praying that we're doing. That we're shifting ourselves into a period of focus. I don't know about you, but certainly in my very young days, I was encouraged as a young boy to kneel beside my bed at night before I went to sleep to pray. It was a psychological change. It was I'm kneeling, so now I'm praying. Now I'm having a conversation with God. I know that in my journey with God, there have been times where I've been standing, arms raised and singing hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. There's been times I've been on my knees praying before him. There's been times I've been face down on the ground, absolutely destitute, desolate, praying that God would change a circumstance and a situation. Posture can be important. Verse 15 says, "From his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." His whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. We are called by the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. I pray that out of his glorious riches, it says in verse 16, that he may strengthen you with power. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be strengthened by God's power? We all do. It's something that's almost innately in us that we know that God brings a different strength and power into our lives. And so we desire that he would strengthen us out of his glorious riches. Not out of my human comprehension, not out of the things that I think he's capable of, but out of his glorious riches. His resources are eternal and never ending and everlasting. Through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In your spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. That's what marks us as different. Remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about Moses? Moses said, "Lord, if you don't go with us, then how will all those other people know that we're distinctly different if you're not there?" As we remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, we also remember that he told us that he would send his Spirit to be with us until he comes again. that as we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, that he seals us by his Spirit for the day of redemption. That the Spirit comes to live in you and me, and that is what makes us distinct and different from the rest of the world. Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. You're not doing this alone. All that stuff we've talked about over the last 6 weeks, you're not doing it alone. You're doing it because he will strengthen you. We are able to do it because he is present with us. And I pray, so that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, as it says elsewhere in the Scripture. That we would grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And even if we think we've grasped that, there's still more. We haven't reached the horizon yet. There's still more to come with him. We can never outrun or outdo God. Whenever we get that, we realize we are not alone. We have all of these resources at our fingertips, to coin a phrase that we use today. God desires that we use the resources that he gives us. The power that he gives to each one of us, the Spirit that lives within us, will convict us, challenge us, encourage us all at the same time. And 1 John 3 says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The love that surpasses knowledge. So that you would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Just let those words dwell for a wee moment. That you'd be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So whenever you try to bake a cake or make ingredients for food and you read the recipe, there's measurements in it. You put so much flour and so many eggs and so much milk, you will create a Victoria sponge. Probably need something else. I've never made one, but you know what I mean. If you put too much flour in and not enough eggs and none of the milk or whatever, it doesn't quite come out the way it's supposed to because you haven't measured it correctly. Paul is saying that we will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That God will give to you what you need from his resources for this moment and for this season, so that you'll be filled to the fullness of your capacity. That kind of blows my mind. That God knows me enough to know how much I need of him in the season that I'm walking through. And he will give me that to enable me to continue. Not just to continue, but to flourish and to grow and to walk stronger with him. He will fill you with the measure of the fullness of God. Not the measure of your fullness. Not the measure of my fullness. And that measure will never end. It will just keep coming. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Just because we get wrapped up in the fact that we think we can do all this stuff, that we think it's all about me, it's all about how much I'm going to get filled by God, how much resources he's going to give to me, it's actually not about you. It's not about me, it's all about him. Now to him, who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Because it's for his glory that we do what we do. It's for his glory the church exists. It's for his glory that the Spirit lives in us and that we walk amongst those who yet don't know him. It's for his glory and for his purpose. And so Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, yet he prayed, "Bless me." In other words, "Show me your way, O Lord, not mine." He prayed, "Bless me and enlarge my territory. Show me your way, O Lord, not mine, so that I can take the opportunities for you." He prayed, "Bless me and enlarge my territory and let your hand be with me, so I will know your purposes, I will take the opportunities, and I will know that your presence is with me." I will distinctly different. He prayed, "Bless me, enlarge my territory, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm and free from pain. Lord, show me your purposes. Give me the opportunities. Let me know your presence is there. And in case I have a temptation to slip and to walk away from you, keep temptation away." And God granted his request. Because he was wholeheartedly, upwardly looking, solely focused on God. So as we conclude, may we step out in faith. May we step out in assurance that God goes with you. May you step out in confidence that it's actually not about you. May you step out in strength that he dwells in you. May you step out in faith that he can do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine. But the one thing we must not do is do nothing. So step out and step up and be surprised at how God will work, because he will. Let's pray. Give us courage to pray. Give us boldness to step out. Give us strength to continue. Give us knowledge and wisdom to know, to see, and to hear what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we finished today with a verse that we finished with on a regular basis and that was read to us earlier in our service. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.